Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Hostile Takeover: Resisting Centralized Government's Stranglehold on America is a political nonfiction book by libertarian activist Matt Kibbe. Written in the context of the Tea Party era and published in 2012, it argues that the expansion of federal power has weakened individual liberty, local self-government, and economic freedom. Kibbe presents the American government as increasingly dominated by insiders, bureaucracies, and special interests. While the book calls for a return to the constitutional ideal of limited and decentralized government, its purpose is not neutral policy comparison, but a forceful ideological case for resistance, emphasizing peaceful activism, personal responsibility, and skepticism toward concentrated authority. The book draws its energy from contemporary controversies such as taxation, regulation, healthcare, education, the Federal Reserve, and media influence, making it both a manifesto and a critique of modern governance in the United States. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a libertarian warning against centralized federal power. The book's central argument is that power in Washington has grown far beyond what the founders intended, creating a federal system that increasingly dictates economic and civic life. Kibbe treats centralization not as a technical administrative issue, but as a structural threat to liberty, because decisions made far from local communities tend to be less accountable and more insulated from ordinary citizens. This framing is important because it gives the book its political logic. If concentrated authority is the problem, then reform cannot simply mean electing better managers. It requires reducing the scope of government itself. The book therefore challenges readers to think about constitutional limits, federalism, and the balance between national coordination and local autonomy. Rather than presenting government expansion as inevitable progress, Kibbe presents it as a reversible drift away from self-government. Secondly, how insiders, corporations, and experts reinforce one another. A major theme in the book is that centralized government does not operate alone. It is supported by a network of insiders, large corporations, and self-appointed experts who benefit from complexity and regulation. Kibbe argues that this arrangement creates a privileged class able to influence policy while ordinary citizens face the costs. This idea helps explain why the book is so focused on cronyism, bailout politics, and the relationship between government and large institutions. The argument is less about capitalism in general than about how government power can be captured and used to protect established players. By emphasizing collusion, the book connects political overreach to economic inequality of influence. Small businesses and individual workers, in this view, are disadvantaged not because markets are inherently unfair, but because rules are written and enforced by a centralized system that rewards scale, access, and political proximity. Thirdly, the media as a truth cartel and the fight over public narrative. Kibbe gives unusual attention to the media because he sees public opinion as shaped by a narrow set of institutions that define acceptable debate. The book describes mainstream journalism as a truth cartel, meaning that a small number of outlets can frame political events, elevate some voices, and marginalize dissenting viewpoints. This is not merely a complaint about bias. It is part of the book's broader theory of centralized power. If government influence and media narratives reinforce one another, then controlling information becomes another method of controlling citizens. The rise of alternative media and digital platforms is therefore treated as politically significant because it weakens older gatekeepers and allows decentralized voices to compete. This topic matters within the book because it links freedom of speech, access to information, and political resistance. In Kibbe's framework, challenging centralized government also means challenging the institutions that shape how that government is perceived. Fourthly, policy examples that illustrate the costs of intervention. The book does not stay at the level of abstract theory. It uses recognizable policy areas such as Obamacare, the education system, the tax code, Social Security, and the Federal Reserve to show how centralization affects daily life. Each example is meant to illustrate a common pattern: policies designed to solve problems often create new layers of bureaucracy, reduce choice, and shift power away from individuals. The healthcare debate, for instance, becomes a case study in how national solutions can expand administrative control and weaken consumer autonomy. Education is treated similarly, as a system where distant decision makers may override local priorities. The Federal Reserve and tax policy are used to show that monetary and fiscal authority can be highly influential without being directly accountable to the public. These examples matter because they make the book concrete. Kibbe is not only arguing for a philosophy of liberty, he is trying to show how large systems of intervention shape incentives, narrow options, and normalize dependence on government. Lastly, peaceful resistance, local action, and a decentralized model of change. Although the tone of the book is combative, its practical message is centered on peaceful resistance and civic decentralization rather than violence or revolutionary rupture. Kibbe encourages readers to recover agency through local organizing, independent information networks, and direct engagement in politics and culture. This reflects the book's belief that power can be challenged most effectively when citizens stop waiting for top-down fixes and start rebuilding authority from the bottom up. The emphasis on personal responsibility is important here. The book presents freedom not only as something to defend, but also as something people must actively practice. That includes skepticism toward experts, participation in community life, and a willingness to resist policies that expand central control. This topic gives the book its action-oriented dimension. It is not simply a diagnosis of what is wrong with government. It is an argument that democratic self-rule depends on dispersed initiative, plural sources of information, and sustained citizen involvement. In conclusion, Hostile Takeover will appeal most to readers interested in libertarian thought, Tea Party politics, constitutional federalism, and critiques of regulatory government. It is especially useful for people who want to understand the arguments behind anti-centralization activism in the early 2010s, or who are looking for a sharply framed defense of localism and limited government. The book's main practical benefit is not policy neutrality, but perspective. It shows how a libertarian writer interprets healthcare, taxation, media, banking, and bureaucracy as connected parts of a larger power structure. That makes it valuable for readers who want to study the logic of contemporary conservative libertarian political messaging. Compared with similar political books, it stands out for its direct, activist tone and its insistence that resistance must be decentralized, peaceful, and sustained by citizens rather than institutions. It is less a balanced overview than a polemical blueprint, and that is precisely what gives it its distinctive place in the genre. Readers seeking a forceful, ideology-driven critique of federal power will find it more revealing than a conventional policy book. If you would like to support Matt Kibbe, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.